Oh, welcome back to Left Out. You're listening to WRCT 88.3 FM. We have been talking to Dave Tessiter from Panda Organization in Pittsburgh, and we now have a few other topics we want to discuss. We listeners are always welcome to call us at 412-621-9728 or send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info. Danny, I think you had a topic.
Yeah, so there's a shortly after our last program, there was a blow up on February 11th. A man named Eason Jordan, who runs CNN's news service, resigned amid a furor about remarks he made at the World Economic Forum, which is in Davos, Switzerland, among all the movers and shakers of the world. They haven't released the exact words he said because it was a closed session, an off-the-record session. But he alluded to the possibility that the U.S. military had targeted journalists in Iraq. Turns out this is a story which was actually discussed on Democracy Now, on WRCT, of course, which you can hear every morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. But this was not a news thing that Jordan just made up. This was something that actually was in the alternative media. A couple of weeks later, after he made these remarks, it sort of had been circulating around the blogosphere, the conservative blogosphere, and suddenly he resigned because this was an unacceptable statement, even to make as a speculation that he thought it was possible. He didn't declare that the U.S. military was targeting journalists. He simply apparently just said it was possible that they were doing that. He wasn't sure. But this was still enough to get him kicked out. And if you look at what we've talked about this on Left Out before, for example, the other great example of this phenomenon where a journalist critical of the administration or an executive who does something critical of the administration in the mainstream media gets the immediate boot, like what happened in the CBS News report about Bush's National Guard service last fall. So this has, you know, of course, a tremendous chilling effect of anybody who has the gall to actually criticize the administration is in putting their entire career in grave danger. There was a lot of discussion in the media about this event, but one thing they didn't discuss was, well, is the military actually targeting journalists or not? That question was never discussed in the mainstream media. It was just dismissed as being outrageous, impossible, unacceptable, you know, unimaginable. In fact, Danny Schechter, who has directed a movie, a documentary about Iraq, the Iraq War, called Weapons of Mass Deception. It's about the media coverage of the Iraq War. The movie should be showing in Pittsburgh shortly. It was just released. There are scenes in that movie talking about the attack on journalists, and there are several very well-documented attacks which look for all the world like direct targeting, although there's never been a formal investigation to these events. But Danny Schechter was interviewed on Fox News, Hannity, apparently one of those programs, and was just shouted down, of course, for even hinting that the possibility that the U.S. had targeted journalists was so outrageous. Like, why would the U.S. military do that? It would be a scandal if they did it. It would be terrible. Unthinkable. But the weird thing about that is if you just look at what the U.S. military has actually done in this war, it doesn't take very much probing to see that they're doing things that are at least as outrageous as killing journalists. For example, one of the first things they did in Fallujah was to bomb the hospitals, killing many doctors and, of course, patients in the hospitals. This is a war crime.
And they were quite open about this because they had a justification for doing it.
What was the justification again?
The hospitals were the source of rumors about the number of people who were injured and the nature of their injuries in the war, and they didn't want rumors to be spread.
Right, because a reporter could go to the hospital and say, look at all the bodies and say, you know, there were these many people were killed. Well, now they can't do that because there's no hospital anymore, so the people just die in the streets. The idea that the U.S. wouldn't commit, you know, such a travesty as killing a journalist is dismissed as impossible on the face of it, which I thought was preposterous. That combined with the actual refusal to actually ask the question on the mainstream media was quite galling.
There was the incident of firing on the hotel. It was the Al Rashid Hotel in Baghdad, right? The tank crew fired on it, apparently, according to some, deliberately.
Yeah.
Killed an Arab journalist.
Yes, and this was the thing that was documented.
That was
in the documentary, Weapons of Mass Deception.
And is that that's a new film? Is that in Pittsburgh? Do you happen to know?
It's not. I'm not aware of it playing in Pittsburgh, but uh-huh. I've been in touch with the distributors to try to get it shown here. Or if I can't, if it doesn't appear in a mainstream theater, we can show it on campus. And
yeah, that would be great. Yeah, we've done that kind of thing before, and yeah. I think it would be worthwhile to do it again. Well, your this story ties in a little bit with another story we have on the Left Out webpage at leftout.info, which I'll skip ahead here to the article in 1995 about John Negroponte's role in the U.S.-sponsored terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism in the Central America in the 1980s. Now, we all know that, yeah. You know, the 1980s, that's so, you know, 1980s, that's such history that who cares about that? It's completely irrelevant. But as you know, that John Negroponte has now been named to be the head of the unified intelligence in the United States government, which would include the head of various branches of military intelligence, the CIA, the NSA, so on, which have been amalgamated. And the person nominated by Bush to head this up is John Negroponte, who at the moment is the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, which is a joke.
Right.
And previously in the 1980s, in the first in the Reagan administration and Bush administration, during the Reagan era, was the U.S. ambassador to Honduras and was responsible, many say, for overseeing and approving and turning a blind eye to the various incidents of state-sponsored terrorism in Guatemala, Nicaragua, Honduras, El Salvador. And there's an article, it's interesting, ties in with your point, is that there is a 1995 article by Gary Cohn and Ginger Thompson, which was published in the Baltimore Sun, that we link to on the Left Out webpage, about John Negroponte, and you may wish to have a look at that. I encourage you. It's called A Carefully Crafted Deception by Gary Cohn, as I say, and Ginger Thompson. And the interesting thing, though, is that the reason we're putting this on here is, well, partly because Negroponte has been appointed, has been nominated to be the director of intelligence. But you can be absolutely sure he'll sail right through
yeah, right.
without the slightest opposition. The point is here is 1995, so this is before any of this came up, was this article published, you know, 10 years later, basically. This comes out in the Baltimore Sun, and the gist of the article is, well, you know what? Everything that people were saying at the time, which was absolutely unthinkable, couldn't possibly be true, was completely made up by, you know, all liberal wackos who are just telling lies. You know, no, it's totally ridiculous. Well, actually, you know, as it turns out, it's all true. And so so this was in 1995. So this is like long after the fact that anyone cared about it.
So
in the interim,
media,
while Negroponte was doing God knows what on the sly before he became a public figure again. Now that he's a public figure again, of course, 1995, my God, that's almost as ancient history as the atrocities committed in the 1980s.
Right.
How could that possibly be relevant to, for example, his ability to serve as the director of intelligence in the United States? Well, this will not come up at all. But you may be interested to find out what's the story about this guy.
Well, it's a phenomenon that I've noticed that the mainstream media will not speak truth to power when they're in power. So it's okay to attack Negroponte, you know, 8 years after he was out. It was okay to write a big expose about his atrocities.
The Baltimore Sun, because
now it's
totally irrelevant, right? It's just only kooks who bother to care about the 1980s who would, you know, be interested in that.
Right. So it doesn't actually threaten anybody. It's not.
That's right.
It's not a dangerous thing to go out on a limb and attack somebody who's been out of power for 8 years. But, of course, that was a mainstream media article, but, you know,
10 years after the fact.
But now it's 9 years
ago. Nine or ten years later.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it'll be like, oh, that's old news. You know, there's no point in bringing that up. This is just old news.
But what I want is one of the senators to hold this article up and say,
Is it true that you did X, Y, and Z?
Is it true that you did this? It's a long article. It's full of documented, detailed information about what he did.
Can you think of a single person who might do that? Barbara Boxer, maybe. Ted Kennedy, maybe. You know, those are the only possibilities. But the truth is, when Negroponte was easily approved as the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, none of these questions were raised. And I think it's highly unlikely that they'll be raised in his part of his approval, the hearings to do with approving his nomination as the director of intelligence. I think it's a shame. But at least listeners left out. We've gone through the trouble to find a link. You might be interested to have a look at this article. So we only have a few minutes remaining. Listeners are welcome to call. You could squeeze one in if you like at 412-621-9728 before we go off for 2 weeks. There's been a couple of other articles that I would like to call your attention to. One article I read recently is a review by Paul Krugman in the New York Review of Books called America's Senior Moment, which is a review of a book by Lawrence Koltikoff, I think, or Kotlikoff, perhaps, and Scott Burns called The Coming Generational Storm, What You Need to Know About America's Future. And Krugman's review is in part a book review, but it's also in larger measure a review of the absurdity of the arguments being offered by the Bush administration in favor of their attempts to gut and eliminate the Social Security system, the single most successful government program, I think, in the 20th century, and very popular. There's nothing wrong with Social Security that cannot be handled very easily by a variety of means, and certainly any problems that Social Security faces are not to be addressed by any sort of privatization scheme of the sort that our very own Rick Santorum, senator from Western Pennsylvania, who is strongly in favor of these payoffs to Wall Street. Well, we've talked a little bit before about Social Security, but we don't have much time now. It's time to go off. Let me just mention again the article. Here is a review of by Paul Krugman in the New York Review of Books called America's Senior Moment, and you can look at that. It's linked on the Left Out webpage. Thanks again to Paul O'Neill for, excuse me, Dan O'Neill for, I have politicians on my mind,
yeah.
To Dan O'Neill who for producing today's program, to Dave Tessitore for appearing as a guest, and we will be back in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for listening to Left Out.